for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Back from Las Vegas.
Yeah, man. Nice time there. And listen, it's the end of the summer, really, this whole Labor Day weekend stuff.
Yeah,
right?
So it was nice and cool over there.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, same as temperatures here, interestingly enough.
Really?
Yeah, 95 not, there, 95 here.
Not that hot.
Not that hot.
For Vegas.
Yeah, it's nice. But I was thinking to myself, yeah, a lot of people are depressed at the end of summer. Why isn't Adam depressed? Ah, because summer ends, football season begins.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah.
But come the end of football season, there's a crash.
That's yeah, it. Yeah, that's where I bottom out.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things. First off, I now have cars with air conditioning and homes with air conditioning and workplaces with air conditioning, but I grew up in the San Fernando Valley with no air in any cars and no air in any houses. And I'm talking about wall-mounted units. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But what happens now, that every time you get a little sort of overheated, you get a post-traumatic stress response.
Yes. I'm so Vietnam vet.
That's right.
Yeah. Car backfires. I hit the ground. Start yelling for cover,
mm-hmm.
to take cover. Start yelling incoming.
Calling for air for cover.
I grab my shoe and start yelling for air cover.
Napalm!
Napalm! This is Bravo, Charlie Fox, Strike 5! We're under fire! I'm in a parking lot of these Odies. I've rolled under a cart.
I'm just hot. That's
taking
right.
cover.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't like heat.
Oh,
so
I've
when the heat
you.
Goes, and I like it when it's cold. I like when it gets darker. Yeah. I like napping weather.
Yeah.
I like it cool outside. And then football season. Football right around the corner.
Yeah.
That is going to be awesome.
It's here. What do you mean around the corner? It's here.
Well, I mean, you know, first Monday night game is Thursday, and then it's this weekend. first Monday night game is Thursday.
That's nice.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. And, the only thing that's annoying about it is every adult male I watch football with now is into what is called the fantasy football, I like to call it fairy tale football because it's demeaning to the guys who do it. Now, it used to be, you see, what happens is every week we go over to Kimmel's house, but there's a solid core of like 7 guys that are there for 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's about 6 or 8 guys who rotate through. They come in, they watch a few quarters, they make their way out kind of thing. But Jimmy puts out a big spread. He's got 28 TV sets. It's like the Caesar sports book over there. And you just sit there getting fat. Mm-hmm. Now five years ago, half the guys were in one rotisserie league. Now every guy's in 3 rotisserie leagues. So you have these guys that are screaming at the TV set for no good reason at teams they're not involved with because they have a player that just did something.
Right, right.
So meaning, you know, Arizona's playing San Francisco. These guys are from New York. They don't like that team. The game's 37-13. There's 2 minutes left in the game, but there's a sack, and these guys are up and screaming because they had Leon Lett or whoever the hell's playing in their rotisserie, whatever.
Right.
And Leon Lett hasn't played in about 15 years. But the point is... You know what I'm saying.
And what do they get with, the pride of ownership?
What do you get? What does anyone get?
I know.
Now, theoretically, there's money involved.
Yeah.
But it's not
explicit.
It's not weekly. Mm. Like, here's the deal. If a guy picks a, 11-team parlay card and he's won 9 games and he's got 2 more, I'm cheering with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he put down $25. He's in line to win $5,000 if the Colts cover. I'm cheering with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when he just has one player on every other team and he's screaming at the set for no good reason.
It's horrible. Ruins football.
How did this take off? If you would have told me.
These guys, wait a minute. These guys must not have played football in high school.
No.
No way. Right?
Ironically, no.
Yeah, it's the only way.
If somebody had said to me 10 years ago, look, there's going to be this fad. It's going to be a craze. It's going to sweep football fans. What is it? They all get in a room and they have a imaginary draft where they all draft their own teams. Then each week they watch those teams. Then they subscribe to the magazines that have the stats. See how many catches Randy Moss had. See how I would have been like, are you No way. These guys want to drink beer and yell and eat meat. You know, give me a break. They're not statisticians. They're fans.
Oh, my God.
It is one more step in the evolution toward us becoming chicks. And you know my big cross?
Yeah.
Where I think we're going to cross and actually be on the other side of women by the year 2037.
Oh, that's going
to
be when.
This is part of it.
Yeah.
It used to be guys would sit around, watch football, argue, and possibly fight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, here's what you do. They'd get pent up, someone backhand their old lady because their team lost, or they'd get a DUI on the drive home. Now they're just combing through piles of statistics, arguing about theoretical things about guys they've never met. They start speaking in terms like, listen, my team, my core receivers, my running back, you've never met these guys.
Hey, wait, never played football.
Never played football. Here's something to do. Why don't you draft supermodels and pretend you're banging them? That would actually be more fruitful.
Yeah.
There'd be more to fun. It. Uh-huh. Hey, yeah. Hey, nailed ooh. Claudia Schiffer. Claudia Schiffer had a tough week. Bukkake. Yeah. Yeah, her hair is never going to be the same.
Okay, all right.
Okay. All right. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah.
I love football. That's why it breaks my heart to see everyone wrapped up. And
you watch with the wrong guys.
No, every guy's into it now. And they're obsessed, and it's taken a grip over them. And the thing about it is none of these guys, there's no problem with booze, there's no problem with drugs, there's no problem with anything. It's just this taking a grip over their life. And it's at a certain point where you want to pull them aside and go, buddy, I'm your friend. Could you please start doing heroin so we could hang out?
Right.
Couldn't you just, look, here's a rig. Drew got me a clean needle. Just please, you know, I'll find that vein. Let me just tie you off. Buddy, please. So we at least have some common ground. Like, I understand this. I understand you wanting to chase the dragon. You with the three or four fantasy teams that you drafted last weekend in your buddy's crappy apartment. And then every Saturday becomes every Sunday's a full-time job.
Yeah.
You have to watch every game. You have to check every stat.
I don't
even
like
cross-check
talking about it. It's making me sick.
Just sit down. Here's the thing about football. You barely need the sound. Just watch guys mashing into each other and enjoy.
You guys never invite me to that game.
Oh, you can't. Look.
I knew you'd say that. You can't go.
You got to ask your wife's permission to make a number two. Do you understand? There's no way you're ever showing up at Kimmel's.
Oh.
And if you did, it'd be weird. You know what you'd be doing?
No.
You'd be dressed in weird casual wear guy attire.
This was the gym clothes?
Yeah.
The sweats?
Well, no, you know what I mean? You know when guys who dress nice try to go casual and they have the stupid sweater draped around them and some funky, you know what it is?
No, I'd know better than doing that.
Funky loafers.
Something
weird and casual, but not quite right.
Right.
So you'd be in weird casual attire.
Well, at least I'd say I just came from the hospital. What am I going to do?
It'd be one of these
just
things.
Came from the hospital. I'm
weird,
sorry.
Weird, creepy casual attire. The next thing you do is you'd be just a little off. You'd be in my peripheral vision, but you'd be a little off.
It'd bug you.
A little out of the group.
You'd stand
aside a little. And then you disappear at some point. Not sure what happened. Had to make a phone call, check in a page, something like that. And then about...
But I'd have a good time.
You'd have a good time for about 40 minutes, and then at a certain point, you take off, and you make the announcement. An announcement, it'd be bad timing. It'd be right before the half or right before the first game ended or something, and it'd be weird. So I didn't want to go through it.
But I
know what's going to happen. If you could wear some sweatpants and some sneakers and hang out for at least 90 minutes, I would invite
you. Speaking of Kimmel, I heard he was re-airing the thing I did last week with him tonight. Does that make sense? Me and Kathy Griffin.
Well, maybe you just thought it was a good show.
That's nice.
That might be on tonight?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody emailed me and said they were seeing it, yeah.
All right. I'll keep an eye on it. I got it on my TiVo. Mm. Danielle?
Yes?
29?
Yeah.
Turn the phones on. We're not hearing the callers. Right. It's not her fault.
I don't care. I got more stuff to talk about.
I know. What's going on over there?
Hey, listen, don't worry about the phones. Let me talk about something else.
No! What?
Drew, you know that creepy casual attire guys who have money wear?
I'll just do this. I'll do the pajamas.
Okay. Pajamas. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Danielle?
Yes?
There she
What's
is.
Happening?
Hello?
What's happening?
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to the host of the show. Go.
Okay.
Who would you call?
I'm calling the Love Line.
That's right.
All right, baby. Here we go now.
Okay. My question is, I have been with my husband for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the other night, him and I were making love, having sex, or whatever. And
need her to say
I started, like, squirting.
Started squirting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the only thing I can explain it by. I thought I was peeing myself, and he's like, no, 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 you're not.
Was it was it during the orgasm?
I am thinking so. I have had several, I mean, I have multiple orgasms with him. Right. I have always have. Mm. But this was a total different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've questioned.
But it was an orgasm.
Yeah, but I have never had an orgasm where I have.
No, I understand.
And the women I've spoken to about this phenomenon, which is female ejaculation, it's you know fairly common and it's normal. Mm-hmm. They kind of are oftentimes unclear if they've had an orgasm or not because they experience it as a release and it feels a relief the way you would feel a relief with say urinating, but it's not urinating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not quite the same feeling as an orgasm. It's like something a little different, a little separate. Mm-hmm. They have trouble describing it usually.
Well. She feels like she had an orgasm, just something physiological went on. And that happens once in a while. Or it may be you just changing into that.
Or some women, that happens every time, but it's fine.
All right. Is he cool with it?
Yeah, but he was kind of like curious, too, of like what's going on. He's like, you know, he's like, babe, 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 no, you're not peeing, you know, because it felt really good.
Yeah.
But well, do you think... In the middle of it, it, like, went on for, like, I'm not going to, I don't know, like, when you're doing it, it feels like forever.
Sure.
But I felt like, in the middle of it, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm peeing. And he's like, no, 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 you're not. And then he's kind of curious, too, of what kind of was going on. And I was.
All right, well. It's
called female ejaculation. It's common, Daniel.
It's very common.
Yeah, it's not something you need to be freaked out about. It's a special talent only some women get. You can sort of work on it and figure out how to do it again if you like that. And if not, it's something that may occur once in a while.
Mm-hmm. All right.
There you go.
You're going to be on Kimmel tonight, huh?
I think so.
You know, I was driving here getting angry at you because you just have to be you.
Oh, yeah, I know. You've gotten down to that lately.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was thinking?
I'm never good, though, and but I'm never bad.
Well, you have good outings for you.
Which only I know, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No one else knows. That's the beauty of you. You know what you are? You know what it's like?
It's like a donut or something?
No. You're like an animal. Like in the animal kingdom, maybe there's certain black bears that think they look better than other black bears,
right.
But we just see black bears.
No, I'm polar bear.
We just see bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, some bears might be more attractive to other bears, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah,
see you.
Yeah.
We don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then here's why I get angry. Yeah. Because I'm doing Letterman later this week.
Oh, yeah, you have to be.
So my entire weekend was really filled with two questions. Like, what are you going to do on your show, on my show, too late? What am I going to my show to do a better job on the guest segment, you know, with the interview segment? Like, what am I going to do to make that better? Mm. And then the next question is what am I going to do when I'm a guest on Letterman? Mm. And I thought to myself, well, which is it?
Yeah.
Okay, where do I get the coast? Like, if it doesn't work out well on my show, isn't that the guest's fault? Because if it doesn't work out well with Letterman, then it's my fault.
Yeah, that's not right.
Well, how come it's always my fault?
Always your fault.
Yeah, why do I always have to show up?
What is that?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what is that?
I'm going to bring my goddamn A game all the time.
I'll be a guest on your show and it'll just be us.
I'll get blamed when it goes poorly.
It won't go back because it'll just be us.
It'll just be you.
How bad can it get? It won't be good.
That's true. No, it'll just be you. Julie?
Yes.
You understand how much that sucks?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Julie.
Hi.
25, baby. What's up?
I have a situation. To make a long story short, I've been married to my high school sweetheart for 4 years. We've been together 8. And last summer, he cheated on me with a girl that I was supposed to be the matron of honor in her wedding.
Yeah, boy.
I know. It sounds a little backwards. So if you want to play the dueling banjos, go ahead.
No, it doesn't sound backwards. It just sounds young, a couple-ish. Like, these people in their 20s mistreat each other.
That's a matron of honor or married maid of honor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I'm married, and I was supposed to be the matron of honor. And
yes, got it.
That didn't happen.
Now, we understand you married your childhood sweetheart.
He was just asking
he didn't cheat with you, did he?
No, I wish.
No,
or some matron. Some
he cheated with a matron of honor.
No, he cheated with my friend.
She was supposed to be the matron of honor at her wedding.
You were supposed to be the matron of honor at
the friend's wedding.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
So it's a good friend that he screwed around with. And right. God knows it may have been happening long before.
Drew's theory, by the way.
Wait a minute, what's my theory?
Well, Drew oftentimes says that when women are about to get married.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They do a little wild seed sowing.
They collect some seed.
Yeah. It's probably.
Collect some genetic material.
If there was a time when a woman might step out on her guy, ironically, it would probably be in the 1 month leading up into the marriage.
Yep.
And now I'm trying to figure out when the most vulnerable week is. I don't think it would be a week before the marriage, but it might be 2-3 weeks before the marriage, maybe a month and a half.
And here's the irony. They don't to them, on some level, it's like, well, to a guy, that would be the absolute. I mean, the husband found out about that, it would be off.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? It could not be anything worse from a guy's perspective. You know, they sort of delude themselves. What's the big deal? I saw my last time. Then I'm going to be perfectly faithful. That is the absolute biggest insult you can give a guy.
Right. So, Julie. Mm-hmm. So, are you still friends with the matron?
No, I am not.
All right. That's good. And how'd you find out about it?
I read some emails. He lied to me. He told me that he was going to visit a friend, and he actually visited her the day before I went down for her bachelorette party.
Ooh.
So I found out after I got back from the weekend, and he was mad that I was reading his email, and then he claimed that he only kissed her, but the emails allude to much more. And
this guy's gotten wavos.
He
spent time. He spent a night with her in a tent.
He pitched
in his sweatpants.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But wait a second. Why the email? Why document this?
I don't know. We lived in different towns, so he was communicating with her that way.
Adam, you're not wired. You wouldn't appreciate.
No, I know, but why hash? You know, here's the deal. I understand communication before the crime so you can coordinate which bank, which time, and all that. Why reminisce about the bank you robbed so the cops can find it?
Oh, they were emailing about what they had done?
Yes, how good of a time they had and what a wonderful weekend they had.
And by the way, why didn't he erase it? You can erase these things.
Well, I got into his email. He didn't know that I...
Yeah, but you can still erase
it,
right?
It's not the cheating part. It's the stupid part.
True.
Yeah, but it's the same guy that says, I just kissed her. He's sort of got bravado. And
right, and you got to wonder what she was thinking about with the email, too. You think she's in love with him?
Well, she claimed to not be. She ended up getting married. Fast forward, we moved away. We had to relocate down to Georgia, and I've since left him in May.
Let me ask this. Did her husband find out about this?
Yeah, I told him.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Listen, if you got to suffer, why shouldn't other people suffer too?
And
well, she claimed that she told him, and he claimed he knew. So,
and was that the end of that?
Yeah.
So that marriage ended too.
No, they are together.
No. Why did you tell him?
Oh, to get back at her.
Yeah, whatever. Just pay back. Fine. All right.
Why did I tell him? Because she was still talking to him. And I felt...
Your husband.
She was still talking to my husband, so I felt that maybe he could prevent something.
All right. Yeah, prevent something. Here's the deal. This is why you don't marry your high school sweetheart.
And you don't get married in your 20s.
This is it.
This is it. The bottom line. This is where it all goes. People in their 20s treat each other like S.
All right, so do you... have kids, did you say?
No.
All right.
The main thing is that now I'm separated. I live in Minnesota. He lives in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know how I can cut ties. Like, it's not, like, part of me still wants to stay with him, even though I don't trust him.
Yeah, forget it.
I don't think this
is the problem of you marrying your childhood sweetheart.
Yeah,
too,
this is what you should have figured. You should have crossed these roads 4 or 5 years
right,
ago.
Right, at 18.
You didn't deal with it.
You don't know how to end a relationship. You don't know how to let go. You don't have to terminate. Did you I'm trying. I can't quite get a read.
The hard part is over for you.
Yeah.
You reconnecting would be a horrible mistake. You're like a junkie who's made it through the first few weeks. The DTs, all the shaking, the now, yep. All the withdrawal, it's all in your past. Now you just have to go to a couple meetings a week. You'll be cool.
And start seeing other guys. Really, Julie. Just, and, then, and by the way, this thinking of, oh, so many good years. We have so many life shared together.
25.
What do you want to do, put more bad years, more years on top of bad?
Yeah.
Just get on with it. You're 25. You got a whole life ahead of you.
But one more question then. Like last night then, I decided to go on a blind date. First thing I've ever done. And total disaster. And it's like, are there
blind dates are always, listen, why was it a,
why was it,
yeah, why was it a total disaster?
Blind dates are always a disaster for one thing, but tell us why.
Well, he stood me up 40 minutes, then he sent me a text message saying that he was nervous to meet me, and then I ended up meeting him anyway, and he happened to know some of my friends, so he'd been nervous, so I ended up going to the house that I was staying at. I was visiting a friend. And he pulled out a chunk of pot and started smoking it at their kitchen table. So I guess that would be why it was.
Sir Walter Raleigh. I got the tobacco part.
Yeah,
look, here's, I don't know why God has to punish you this way. Like, every time I got crapped on by a chick or got dumped on or had a relationship go south, the first date with the new chick or
always
a
bad.
New chick.
Always bad.
As if you were being sent a message and punished simultaneously. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, no, Drew, you know, too, that now, eventually you had a few more dates, and then you met a new chick, and then you started something up. Now, if you'd met that new chick right out of the gate, you would have forgotten about
up.
The...
We'd have screwed that up, too,
Well,
though.
You would have screwed it up, but it would have taken the edge off almost immediately.
Yes, yes. Well, this is the first breakup. This
always,
is our first
but
breakup.
It's, oh, but it's like...
takes months to get through
but that. It's like you're being punished.
I know it is it just
and
I don't
and,
feel
and it's like fate tempting you go back.
Well,
back, do you see how it's going to be?
It must be, as usual as most things with the human being, stuff we bring on ourselves. You know, we don't go out with the right person, we're not careful, we don't feel confident dating, we don't look around, we put ourselves in positions where that make us feel like we should be going back.
Yeah,
we compare,
but
all the time. That's
every success story is every successful comedian says, I went out on stage on an open mic and I bombed, but I got back up.
Best thing that ever happened to me.
But I did it, whatever. Right. Whatever it is, whatever. The first guy, the guy lost his first professional fight and then won the next 39 in a row.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
That's all success stories are never, I went out and immediately it was easy.
See, Julie, give it a little time.
All
please.
Right. All right.
Forget about the dog. Or get the dog up in Minnesota.
The dog. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Get it on, everybody. Got to get it on. Mandate to get it on. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Hey, let me take care of a little business here. One lucky person tonight's going to win the Durex Party Pack. The Party Pack includes CDs of good bands, names we can't remember, but they're good.
Hoobastank was one of them.
Hoobastank, yeah, and the Killers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You also get some money, and you get some CDs. You get a poker set, and you get the Durex condoms. Each night, we're going to pick the best call that we can remember. And you got to be 18 years or older to win. It's brought to you by Durex or Sex. And then there's Durex. Yes?
Yes.
Now, let me do some other quick business while I'm here. If you want to come out and watch my TV show, which is very fast and very painless and right in the middle of Hollywood, you go to www.1iota.com. And the 1iota is just, you actually punch in the letter 1 and then IOTA.com. All right, Drew.
Here we go.
Yeah?
Yep.
What's up, buddy? You ready to rock?
Yep.
JD?
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing much. I have a Prince Albert,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking about getting more piercings on my penis.
Hold on. Doesn't it go against the Amish teachings to get more piercings?
I don't know. I'm not Amish.
Okay. Oh, you're stoner. Hey, you sound stone-ish. Very sound stone-ish. Very stonish. Sound yeah. very Amish at the beginning. Yeah. Ooh, stonish.
Wow, it's high now.
How much weed do you smoke, brother man?
I don't know. Not that much, but pretty much.
All right. Let me write that down.
That puts a fine focus on it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just.
It's just. I just snapped. A clear picture.
Snapped into relief.
I'm thinking about Grandma Day.
Not that much, but pretty much. Okay. All right. Now we got that. You got to be high now, right, JD?
Yeah, pretty much.
JD, stop with the pretty much. Yes or no, it'll be just fine. Yes. Well, right. Yes, I'm no.
going to take pretty much as affirmative.
No, it was pretty much as affirmative to three other questions.
Who cares? So. JD, enough with the piercings. You're 25, you're high, you're a loser. Let's get a job, buddy.
Yes, I'm worried about infections because my buddy told me when he got his infected, they actually have to cut it off, which I'm terrified. Yeah.
Cut off the piercing or cut off the penis?
The penis. That's what I'm worried about. And everyone said...
Yeah, it's bogus.
You have like more than five on there. Like, I want to get
he's
a
bogus.
Bladder.
Yeah, whatever, JD, listen. Whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. If things were...
Oh, who cares? I'm not even going to dignify with an answer. Where are you working?
Oh, I work at a concert pavilion.
What do you do there?
I give people tickets.
Concessions? All right. Concessions is a step up. JD, what's the plan beside putting a stepladder on your joint? What is the overall plan for your life?
Well, not to get infections and not to get it cut off.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm
just
not.
Keep your penis out of sharp places.
I'm not talking to your penis. I'm talking to you.
All right.
What's your plan?
Like, want to be an actor this time?
Oh, yeah.
JD, please promise me. Here's what I want you to promise me.
You'll stay away from my kids.
No. Well, yes. Well, I don't care about that. JD, promise me. You're in Wisconsin, right?
Well, like Fox River.
Okay. Okay. I know the area. You know, Jed? Hey, go to New York. Do not come to Los Angeles. You understand me?
Yes.
Go to New York. New York's a little bit closer, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. New York. I've been there before.
Yeah, no, good. No. Yeah, go out there, buddy.
Much better for you.
You want to act. And by the way, I see you doing legitimate theater.
Shakespeare.
None of this crap, none of these Mentos commercials we shoot out here.
He's Solario Solani.
Go to New York. Please go to New York if you want to act. And that's a good message I want to send to all the stoners out there who want to come to Los Angeles and just sit in front of me. Not knowing it's illegal to turn right on a red light in this city. Go to goddamn New York, would you please? And F up their city? If you want to do something, as long as you're not going to do it, don't do it there. You'd always get a gig as a waiter, right?
Way more so there, too. A lot more of that.
Thank you. And whenever they talk about all the greats,
you know, they all went
the James Deans of the world, they all went to New York. They didn't come to Los Angeles. The Hey Vern guy came to Los Angeles. James Dean, he went to New York.
He sold
now.
Cars out here first.
That's right. Cerritos Auto Square. It's dealing days. Stacy?
Yes?
Yeah.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous right now. But
that's all right.
Try to give you a gist of what's going on. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has a history of not ever letting anybody into his life or knowing him.
Oh, you got to break through.
Yeah,
you got to break through. You got to get to know him.
Yeah, something special there.
I've tried.
Yeah.
And it all started off with he has a real big insecurity about people knowing if he masturbates.
Hey, Stacy, stop with the sort of the.
I'm sorry.
Masturbates.
Smoke detector. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Jacks off. He's hidden porns from me for a long time, and I guess I was just.
Listen, that's not an insecurity about him wanting people to know. He doesn't want you to know because he knows you'll freak out about it.
Okay, well that makes sense. And I think that comes down to the fact that I know he likes to do it. I know he likes to do it in the shower, but we have sex maybe once a week, if that.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey.
And I mean, I just don't. He has a history of, you know, ADD and, you know, all that stuff. And he used to be on medication for it all the time. And now he doesn't take it anymore.
Good. Mm. Good.
Good.
I don't know if that has something to do with it.
I mean, he's not taking Ritalin anymore.
Yeah, it's good. To do with what? You haven't told us what the problem is.
Well, he masturbates.
The problem here being, he's been pushing me away. We have two kids together, and he's been pushing me away for a while. And
You have two kids with him. Like, hold on.
Why do you have two kids with a guy that you don't get to know?
That no one knows, and you have two kids with him. By the way, if you don't know him, how could that even be? Two children with him.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I've done everything that I possibly can. I mean, from saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you tell me. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to accept you for what you are. Well, and then he comes back and saying, oh, what do you want me to know? What do you want to know about me? I've told you everything in my past. I'm like, it's not about who you are in your past. It's about who you are.
All right. Where's your dad?
My dad is here, actually.
And you have a good relationship with him?
I have an awesome relationship with my dad. I consider him probably my best friend. And my mom, on the other hand, they've been together for almost 30 years. She doesn't know how to communicate very well. But other than that, I can't talk to her as much. But I don't know. I've never...
What went wrong? Why'd you become such a F-up? I mean, your parents are...
such a what?
Oh, well, I can't use the entire word, but I'd say F-up.
I didn't.
You didn't.
You're not married.
You got two kids.
You have two kids with a guy you don't know.
No. Well, I know we've been together for 3 years.
Why did you say so?
Okay.
Then?
Yeah. I didn't know you guys. I thought you just cranked out the two kids this weekend with the guy. I didn't know you'd been together for a few weeks. Okay. So you've been together for 3 years.
For quite a while.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a totally different situation. It's 100, 1,000, 1 million, 1 kabillion. Okay. It's totally different. It's totally different.
Okay. So on that note, I've always known that he's always up to something. He's that kind of guy. He's a 28-year-old in a 20-year-old shell.
What does he do for a living?
He works in a bakery.
And he's always up to something. What does that mean?
He's always been up to
marijuana.
He's just very secretive, always hiding, you know, trying to hide.
That guy smokes a lot of pot. You know what I mean? That guy.
Yes.
Works in a bakery doing the repetitive job.
Does he smoke a lot of pot?
No, actually, he hasn't smoked pot in about 4 years.
Oh.
Did he used to smoke a lot of pot?
He used to, and he used to be a sexual addict as well.
Ah, okay. Well, was he sexually abused growing up? By the way, he's still smoking pot. I got news for you. he is.
Well, you don't know.
Unless he's in recovery. Is he in recovery of some kind?
No. Actually, far as I know, he went to jail for a couple years, and that kind of knocked some sense into him.
No, he's still smoking.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me explain about the Enigma mystery man never working undercover for the CIA. it's not like he's just driving the rusted out Vega as part of his cover. And there's no bat pole to slide down. There's no cave. There's no mystery. There's no, you know, he doesn't meet with Mr. X, or he doesn't go down to look at his cigarette lighter that's actually dispenses nerve gas or anything. The mystery men, turns out, they beat off the kiddie porn.
Right.
That's their mystery.
Right. They're underdeveloped. They're disconnected. They're fragmented. And that's what you don't. That's why you don't. That's why it seems mysterious, because there must be something there. No.
Let me explain something. There's mysterious, like, does a lot of stuff and doesn't want you to know. And then there's mysterious, beats off the weird underage porn on the internet and doesn't want you to know. You know, Huff's copier toner in the garage doesn't want you to know. That's not mysterious.
It's secretive. It's the secretive and guilty.
Yeah, these are basically felons.
Yeah. He went to jail.
Yes.
For what?
I knocked some sense into him.
Yeah, of course. It always works.
Why did he go to jail?
He went to jail for burglary.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he was, I don't know, I think he was about 19 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was a kid.
Yeah, of course.
He was a kid, and I just, my whole situation, this goes into a lot deeper than what I'm just talking to you about.
Two years he went to jail for what?
Just armed robbery, probably.
Well, burglary, and he initially told me that it was for some kind of drug-related issue, but then I found out in the end, you know, that it had to do with...
So what was the deeper thing?
What did it have to do with? I want to know.
What does this have to do with?
What did it see, Drew? What
I'm
happens?
Sorry, yeah, I know.
What did it have? What did the burglary have to do with it in the end?
He was telling you it was not just a drug-related thing. It was. He ended up telling me. You continue.
He didn't tell me. I found out through another source.
You ended up finding
Please
out
tell
that
us what
it
that
is.
That it is what?
I don't know.
Okay, Drew. You're mad at her.
I know,
I'm mad at
you.
You cut her off. You
I don't
idiot.
Blame you. I don't blame you. She can't follow a thought.
Stacy.
Oh my God.
I wish we had some tape we could roll back. I'm just curious. Drew cut you off.
Yeah, I know. I'm hearing two questions at a time. I'm sorry.
I know. It's all right. Drew cut you off, sweetie. I was asking if it was, you know, drug related, and
as in him selling drugs. That's what he initially told me. But I think that may have sounded better than burglary, and that's why he lied to me about it. He's a compulsive liar. Let me give you that.
And so you ended up finding out that it was
that's enough.
Burglary.
It's burglary.
Yeah, that is burglary.
Okay. All right.
Okay, my whole thing is, I don't know if something happened to him while he was in jail that has just made him, because he's, you know, it's like he tries to open up and then he backs off and then he tries.
Look, Stacy, hey, it says you're living in like some sort of, I feel like I'm talking like a kindergartner or something.
It's really, it's Stacy,
like, I feel sorry for you, Stacy.
And what happened to you? I mean, your parents are together.
Nothing happened to me. Let me tell you.
When did you drop out of high school?
I didn't. I graduated high school, and I have some college on me.
Junior college. I can smell it from here. Stacy, look, why'd you have two kids with this idiot? And by the way, if you have a third kid, I'm going to come over there and strangle you. Do you understand?
No, I don't. But can I ask you a question of the root of my problem?
Root of the problem is he was sexually abused and physically abused, probably what you're describing here. Trying to figure him out, you are not a psychoanalyst. You're not a PhD clinical person. You're way over your head. Stop thinking about these things. You're thinking about things you have no understanding of. This is all nonsense. Everything you're thinking is completely off base. He is a trauma survivor. He's an addict, and he's a criminal. He has major psychiatric problems. Do not expect to be able to get any further with him than you have. His brain doesn't work that way. If he's interested, he is interested in changing. Yes, there are 12-step programs. Yes, there's psychotherapy. They can bring him along a little bit over a very long period of time with hard work.
Right.
But you going at him to open up will do nothing. He's incapable of
it. So, what are you going to do?
I heard about recently.
No.
That he did? That he was sexually abused or whatever?
He's a disaster.
No,
or that he raped somebody?
Actually, I found out that he had some personal ads out on a chat line.
Right. He's a sex addict, Stacy. He's not been treated.
Stacy.
Addiction does not go away.
Stacy, here's the real question.
Okay.
How did you get in the position that you would be attracted to this guy? And how did you get so stupid/naive that you would crank out kids with this guy and think you could somehow have a relationship with a bad guy? It's not what a bad guy he is. That's not a question, because there's bad guys everywhere, all over the world, throughout history. Open the newspaper. There's one on it every day. Why are you attracted to it, and why are you hanging in with it? That's the only question you need to
and
ask.
You, if you want to answer, you go to therapy, you go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor. You're probably going to find your dad was an alcoholic or
kids,
something. Just
the kids are going to, look, like I said, take the son, drop him off at the prison. Take the daughter, drop her off at the strip joint. And let's just get a jump. It's the Adam Carolla Head Start program. Head Start. Idiots. Crapping out kids. No one's got anything to say. Oh. All right, I feel bad for her. Let's take
too,
a break.
But
look, don't be so naive. The guy's a mess.
Look, I know.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Please hold.
Yeah, love line. I'm Adam.
Blah.
That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Okay.
We just got out of the bathroom. Drew hopped on the urinal. That's where I usually go.
I'm sorry. I screwed you up.
I walked into the stall to find the lone pube on the seat, which is always weird.
Duke.
Well, there was both. Now, here's what happened. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this. The person flushes the toilet, but the one flush doesn't really get it. Then what happens is everything, it's like the world's worst snow globe. Everything sort of settles at the bottom. It just looks a little brown, a little murky. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when you hit the thing, it whips it all up. So all of a sudden, poof.
That explodes.
It's like a manatee taking a crap in a river. Boom.
Yeah, glad I chose the urinal, frankly.
It's nice. Yeah, it was awesome. I couldn't even go. That takes a lot for me.
Yeah, that was quick for you back there.
Sarah?
Yeah, hi.
27?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I have a question. My boyfriend got kind of excited about the idea of having anal sex the other day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
First, let me stop you right there. First, this is our Durex recipient. First,
yeah.
Of
all right. So we're going to send you out that Durex party pack.
Okay.
You need a little help that way.
Yes. All right. So yeah, keep going. So
I had kind of a bad experience with anal a few years ago and haven't tried it since. But
what happened?
It was just painful and not intimate. It was. It wasn't a loving experience. It was just bad. and
<Right.
how.
laughs>
Yeah. I'm not sure your boyfriend is considering loving experience when he asked for that.
Yeah, baby. No.
That's
not get closer.
That's, you got to understand a male's brain. He'll be fine not having anal sex.
Well, it wasn't this guy.
I know, but she doesn't want to do it with this guy because of her bad experience, and she doesn't want to disappoint him. And
no,
it might make her feel closer and more loving.
No, Drew, you're always wrong. She's worried about her and her ass.
Yeah, but then why would you even consider doing it then?
Because not everything anal is bad.
What, if it's painful and damaging and can cause prolapse and tearing and fissures and hemorrhoids and rips and all kinds of lovely things, why? And you are someone that clearly had trauma with it, why would you try again with this guy?
Especially
when you put it in the context, by the way, Sarah, of looking for a loving experience, because that's not what he's thinking about. I guarantee you that's not his intent in getting anal sex.
I'm curious when you say not everything anal is bad, what you mean by that.
I've had good experiences, and I have a friend who's very much into anal sex. And I just am curious about it.
Well, you have a female friend?
Uh-huh.
And she enjoys it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you say you've had good experiences.
I've had, not penetration that was good, but other...
Why don't you stick with that?
Hey, you mean a little butt dart action?
Dart.
Well, I mean, you had a little tongue lashing down there.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
All right, stick with. Yeah, but that's not harmful. Maybe not to you.
So are you just suggesting not having anal sex at all?
Yeah, listen, some people...
We would tell you to do it if you were into it,
yeah,
but you don't like it.
No, you're not like it. It hurts you, and your body is telling you it's harmful.
I got an idea. Why don't you tell us something you ate last that made you throw up and see if we can talk you into eating it again? You want to do that?
Or worse, something that really broke a limb or something.
No, you didn't break a limb. It wasn't good. It was a bad experience.
This is an area that when it hurts, it's a sign of trauma. Some women don't have pain.
She brought in the loving part.
Well, the loving thing is absurd. That's absurd because that's not what a guy is looking for when he's asking for that. He's asking for something more misogynistic, believe me.
But I live with this guy. I mean, we're talking about a long-term thing here.
That doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but this experience, it's not what he's looking
for. But here's the other thing, Sarah. I know you're calling from San Francisco. You're a Democrat. You're not uptight. You're wide open, free love, and all that crap.
Hell yeah.
You wish you were the kind of person that could handle it. You can't.
Your anus will prolapse when you're about 65, and wait till you see how lovely that experience is.
Oh, no, it won't.
Yes, it will. It's traumatized.
Listen, I would like to tag her anus and check it in 37 years.
You will be prolapsed.
I will tag her anus.
If she keeps this up.
I will tag her anus and check it.
Good luck.
I'll follow its migration. Listen, Sarah, listen to me. You just want to be, you would like to think of yourself as the kind of person that was into this or could handle it or whatever. You're not into it. You can't handle it. So move on.
Next.
Okay.
Next.
And ask him for the other thing that you do want and see how much he loves
and
you.
And don't get into that whole conversation where the last guy that didn't hold yet when you were done. Don't get into that. Just say not into it. Move forward. But I love him. All right.
Line two.
Talk a little Germany or Florida?
No time for that.
All right. Eric?
Hi.
Uh-oh.
What's up, Eric?
Good. So, ready for it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. These kids got one less Christmas birthday present 1 year. They were twins because it got blasted apart by the police with a shotgun because when they sent it to the X-ray machine at the airport, they got it by airmail. When they sent it to the X-ray machine at the airport, the police spotted wires in it. What it actually held were several pairs of jeans and a set of walkie-talkies.
Mm-hmm. Is this a Germany or Florida?
Yep.
Well, now this is ironic because we were going to take a Germany or Florida, which was labeled Germany or Florida from Amanda on line 4.
Is your name Eric?
Yep.
Is it Eric?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
he should be punished.
Drew said no time for Germany or Florida, so we took Eric, which says likes pain, hits himself. His dad had a stroke. You hit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you like pain.
This is like...
And your dad had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Has high blood pressure?
No, he's been very healthy all his life.
Do you have an aneurysm?
What do I know?
He's 13. He's no doctor.
All right,
but
I
appreciate in the face of all this pain and misery, you're able to cheer everyone up with a Germany or Florida, albeit a very depressing Germany or Florida, but a Germany or Florida.
I'll take Florida.
I'll take Florida, too. Go ahead, Eric.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm back.
All right, now hang on. Drew's back in a big way. He's two for the last two. We're going to put you on hold and try to address your actual question, all right?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Ooh, is he a teenager? We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Love Line will be right back.
Yeah. Woo! Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. One lucky person tonight. Did we pick our one lucky person?
We picked our first hour one lucky person. We have a second hour.
Oh, really?
Lucky person.
They're going to get the Durex party pack. You get the CDs, you get the poker set, you get the money, and you get the Durex condoms. Got to be 18 years of age or older. And it's brought to you by Durex or Sex. And then there's Durex. And let me say this, Drew.
Say something.
I was driving around. Drew and I were driving out of the studio. We take the same route home about half the way. And then we part ways. We lament. But we part
speaking.
Ways.
We keep talking.
Keep speaking on the cell phone, but we part ways. I think it was last week on... Wednesday, when we were leaving here, the freeway was stopped. We got on the 10 freeway, then we got on the 110, and the freeway came to a stop.
Oh, yeah.
And I go ballistic. Drew and I always talk on the cell phone when we're leaving. We're like, smoking the bandit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out front. I'm the bandit.
One of us out front.
One of us is always out front running point, and then Drew be like, "He's smoking a chair, 5 o'clock, Tuesday." And I'll be like, "Okay, Drew, don't hit your brake pedals. It's going to light up your brake lights. Pull ease on the e-brake," because we're doing 85, and someone will see a county Mountie up there and report back to their guy. It actually works. If you have a guy sort of couple off ramp and a half ahead of you, he can tell you what's happening.
Yeah.
We got onto the downtown Los Angeles freeway, and it came to a complete stop. I went ballistic because I said to Drew, we have all these goddamn signs, these big light-up billboard signs that cost millions of dollars that they've had hung over the freeway for the last 20 years that they keep adding on to that could tell you
something.
That could tell you something like, attention all tards. I know you're getting onto the 110 going through downtown. Hey, here's an FYI. It stopped. It's not moving.
Yeah. There was a sign just before that on-ramp, too.
In which case, I would gladly hop off on La Brea or wherever and cut across town. Tonight, when I was driving in, and I scream at Drew, and Drew, I've probably done it over the cell phone 1,300 times with you now when I'm being diverted off the 110 and having to drive. having to drive into gang-infested areas at 1 in the morning to turn around because of the freeway was closed down. Why can't they write it on the goddamn sign? They have an electric sign. Type it in.
I know.
It works perfectly for the Amber Alerts. When somebody is abducted, they immediately just type in the weight and the height and whatever.
Listen, and I can always count on those signs to tell me what's going on in San Diego.
Once in a blue moon, they tell you that the DeVore Pass has been one of the lanes is closed, which I don't know where that is because it's several hundred miles from where we are. But once in a while, just to F with us, they put some obscure piece of it's almost traffic trivia. Yeah. You know, why don't they do that? The first intermittent windshield wipers were invented by what company and installed in what year? Because it would really be better. Just
so
put some goddamn
it.
Traffic trivia up there.
Yep.
Yes, the Sig Alert was named after. Just tell us something. At least keep us entertained. You got nothing.
Yep.
Except for once in a while, a kid is abducted.
Once in a while.
Yeah, every other night a kid's abducted, and at that point, I don't know what to do. I always feel like reaching out and slapping that Starsky and Hutch siren on my thing, pulling the e-brake, whipping it around, and going after somebody.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what should I do? Now, here's the deal. I have to get involved with law enforcement.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
So, here's the thing. And by the way, when I read this sign, am I now deputized? How does this work?
Well, by the way, you have to read the sign every 300 yards, too.
How about you just put what's on? If someone gets abducted, fine. But on the off chance that someone not being abducted, go ahead and put the fact that the goddamn freeway is being closed down several off ramps in front of me. That would be a nice tidbit.
Yeah.
So tonight on the way to work, so that was this our last conversation, and I started seeing tonight on the way in, the freeway stopped, and I mean I came to a stop on the freeway.
On
the 101, going through Hollywood, and I thought, oh my God, I got to get off the freeway. I'm going to be late. I'm going to miss the gig. And the reason the freeway stopped is because the sign was lit up and it said drive safely, and then it said obey
the speed
limit. And first off,
I mean, people are slowing down to see that. That's what stopped.
Well,
the traffic.
This is the 101 Hollywood crowd, so these are practically retarded people.
But once you pass the sign, it sped up.
Picked up.
Oh,
didn't have to get off the freeway.
My effing God.
Yeah. And okay.
Well,
so,
these are the people you should be in New York.
Well, okay, I got a couple issues. Yeah. One is, I don't like the word obey. Observe is fine.
Yeah.
I don't like obey. That's too Orwellian for me. That's like an 80s Nike. That's like a Nike commercial from the 80s.
Yes.
I don't like obey.
Yes.
I don't like when the man starts saying obey.
Yep.
That's number one.
Agreed.
And by the way, you know what you guys just got for that? I'm going to go through another 1,000 of your crappy
red
arrow. That's my take on obey, you a-holes. Number one. And tonight, I'm driving home at 90. I usually go 85.
Oh, good. Okay,
I'm going 90 just because you guys used obey.
Yeah.
But here, and I'm swerving. I'm going to go.
And it's the end of the holiday.
I'm going erratic on your ass. Why can't we use those mother effing signs for something other than click it or ticket, obey, and the Amber Alerts? Can they not figure out what's going on 10 feet in front of the sign and let people know when the freeway's going to be stopped? Is it possible?
No. Clearly not.
Clearly not. So here's the thing, and I know everyone's had an assful of me and my chirping about this, but we live in a city that claims they want to do something. You have multi-million dollar
system,
a Diamond Vision signs every mile you could use to go ahead and alert people to problems that are coming up, and you choose not to.
These are the signs that speak to Steve Martin and L.A. Stories.
If anyone saw that. They were put here for the 84 Olympics. And here's the other thing, too. When I always go berserk when I'm on the cell phone with Drew. Caltrans, the folks that do close off the off-ramp to the 101, don't they know? Do they not have a calendar? Do they not know months in advance this work is going to go on?
Aren't they the ones doing the signs?
One would think. But nobody knows, and nobody knows, and nobody knows. And for that reason and that reason alone, this has to be some worst town. And I know, New Orleans seems bad and confused. It pales in comparison to the jackasses and idiots that are running Los Angeles. These guys have to just be, I don't even want to call them human beings. I have no idea what they're doing. And neither do they. What can we do about this, Drew?
Keep yelling about it on the radio.
Yeah,
that's about it.
That's going to work.
And keep speeding, keep going through left.
Please, everyone, join me please, whatever town you're living, wherever you live in, you don't have to live in Los Angeles. I don't care where you are. If you're within the sound of my voice, you owe it to me to drive through the left turn arrow once it turns red. That's provided the signal is green and there's no traffic coming.
Right.
You treat it. You know what you do?
Treat it like a green light.
You know what's a nice thing to do? Yeah. Go ahead and flip your sun visor down.
So you can't
It'll block
that.
It out. And you just then you just treat it like you're at an intersection where the light is green. And guess what? You're an adult. You get to turn left because there's no traffic coming. Please join me in driving through those. And please do not think I'm exaggerating when I say I drive through every single one of them every single time. And I've never gotten a ticket. Never. So do it with me, America. Please ignore those. Gabriel?
Yes.
Drew, I'm going on year what with driving through those
Three?
Things? Oh, no.
Five, maybe?
Four or five.
Yeah.
I started when we were over in our other place.
Yeah,
Culver
yeah.
City got
yeah,
me
yeah.
started with those things. Every day, every night, everyone. Well, never
now,
gotten a
now
ticket.
Now, mind you, you've gone beyond the pretending it's a green light to screeching around the line of cars who are waiting to turn left.
Cars? I call them lemmings.
Lemmings. The lemmings in metal vehicles.
Who are just waiting. Just sitting in their metal coffins, waiting, just praying to die. I go right around that whole loop of them. And here's my promise to you people. One day when I get that ticket, I'm going to fight it.
Good.
And I will win.
What's up, Gabriel?
Thank you.
21.
Oh, nothing. Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Right on. Hey, before I get started, Adam.
We've
lost a little momentum with that. What's up?
Nothing. I just had a question for y'all. It seems that I've been having problems since, I don't know, God, high school with initiating any sort of relationship. And then, you know, the few times I've managed to do anything meaningful, it always seems to end, like, badly.
What do you mean? Give an example of the last one that ended badly. What happened?
Well, the last girl that I dated was a borderline, if not full-blown alcoholic. So that kind of had to end before things got out of hand, but...
Yeah.
Basically, that's kind of how it goes for me. And,
when chicks are alcoholics, too, they're messes. They're sloppy messes.
So you only are attracted to addict or alcoholic women?
Well, I'm not sure. My father is a recovering alcoholic, as well as my grandfather. My other grandfather actually died of a cirrhosis. So
right. So you understand that sort of is that kind of person is something you're very attracted to, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I figure there was probably some underlying sort of attraction there that I either didn't want to come to terms with or I was just kind of ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you haven't answered my question yet. Is the problem that you tend to be attracted to women who have addiction and drug problems?
Well, not necessarily addiction
and
drug problems. All right.
Then give me an example of one where that wasn't the case and how did that one end?
Well, relationships that are doomed to fail. Like one of them, I'm pretty sure, was like borderline bipolar. Kind of like a really manic girl with
Gabe.
Violent mood. Yes.
Listen, you're 21.
Right?
It's always a disaster, 21.
But here's the deal. There's only one variable in this that's fixed, and that's you. And you're telling me over and again here that you are attracted to women who have psychiatric problems. That's all you're saying. So, of course, they're going to end badly because it's going to be a chaotic, disturbed relationship. That's where people act out their craziness is in relationships.
Huh? Can you be a fixed variable?
The only thing that's not a variable is you. Let's put it that way.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, Gabe. So take a long look in the mirror and then blame others
Maybe
and move
some
on.
Al-Anon for you, you know, if you really want to.
Well, here's the thing. You're smart. You're 21. You're asking the right questions. You'll be fine. You'll start to sniff it out early. You'll figure it out.
It just seems like I have this really big self-esteem problem with, like, I guess what you would consider like a normal, like a healthy kind of girl, you know, with regular tendencies and things like that.
Right, it makes you feel funny. But you got to get over that and take yourself in and have some relationships with people who are not disturbed. See how that feels.
Yeah.
If you can't handle that, then that's Al-Anon therapy.
Yeah. I really do think chicks are worse alcoholics than guys. You know,
they get more liver disease than men, like five times more likely to get cirrhosis.
Really?
And,
yeah, but I'm talking about their personalities. You know what I mean? Like, it depends.
There's a frequent happy male drunk. There's not a very
there's
frequent
guys
happy
like Anderson
female.
Who just retreat into a world of pornography in late nights. You never know about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's just going to sit around and listen to Iggy Pop on his headphones till 5 in the morning and drink schnapps and beat off. It's not going to be, It's not going to impact your life.
Quite an image.
But it's not going to negatively, you know.
Big film scroll around his arm.
Yeah, he's not going to show up at a party and get all weird and sloppy and confront your boss. You know,
no.
He's not coming to a Christmas party and getting weird on everybody.
No.
Chick can do that.
Yeah.
Chick can get out of control.
Yes. Remember The Godfather 2 with the, what was the brother
yeah.
who gets killed eventually? His wife.
Yeah.
Flipping out at the party.
Peru's got a friend that...
What's that? What?
I remember going to one of your birthday parties in Vegas. There was a gal who likes to tilt a few and have a little
somebody
fun.
Somebody freaked out a little bit?
It was her.
I don't remember this. Who was it?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And during the break.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a couple. Yeah, the S. Hi, how are you? Yeah, there's women who will freak on your ass, and they'll do it in public. That's their whole thing. Guys will fight. Guys will do their thing, but they'll sit home and drink and be surly and weird.
Yeah.
Chicks will drink out and screw with you in public.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for that.
No happy female drunks. There's happy male drunks. You know what I mean? Guys get nicer.
Well, here's the thing about the chick female drunk. The female drunks is they will pass through happy, but they sprint through it.
Yeah.
They sprint. See, that's the thing. It's like somewhere between their fourth and fifth, for somewhere between the third and fifth Manhattan, they're like, you know what? You got a lot of personality. Right. And then somebody goes, and then it gets into weird revealing, weird stuff.
So then everything they start taking issue with, and it becomes like a...
They start getting confrontational, yeah, right. And then they get sloppy, and then there's the ones that start revealing stuff. Mm. He cried like a baby when his mom said he was cut out of the will.
They'll start telling you stuff about your friends and things.
And so, about you, more so you to your friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta watch out for them. Monica?
Hi, Adam.
24, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, you're lucid, baby. That's what I like.
Oh, wow. How? Thanks.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do love the show, and I am...
lucid.
I'm Monica, I'm 20. Lucid? What do you mean by that?
You were smart. They didn't know what lucid meant. I just mean you're awake.
Yes.
Okay, I am awake. I do. I listen to the show a lot. I'm kind of excited to be talking to you guys. But
thank you.
Here's the thing. I'm young. I'm single. I'm having a lot of fun. You know, I'm 23. I'll be 24 in a couple of months, and I'm doing really well for myself. I'm like a realtor in the Bay Area in California, and I'm having
Monica, you said the F word though on the air is what you did say. I can't believe I said that on the air.
That's ironic use of the F word.
Oh my God.
So her first thing was she was going to go, she was going to explain that she was going to go on to tell that she, you know, manned the glory hole at the county fair. And now she
identified too much about herself.
Yeah. Okay. So. Monica, we erased all that stuff that you said,
especially the F word part.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. So I go out and I party and I date guys and I don't really have anything exclusive. And when I do that, I seem to have a good kind of guy and not. But that whenever I settle down and have something like serious, and which I don't do too often, but when I do try to do that, it ends in like a couple of weeks because for some reason the guys that I want to settle down with, and they all seem like losers. And like they're like the guys that would be really bad for me, the ones that just have like, you know, no jobs, no car, really not anything going on. And
all right, here's the deal. For one thing, the good news is you don't force the relationships. You do end them in 2 weeks. That's a very good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you still are into this bad boy phase, and you're about 2 or 3 years sort of delinquent on this one, mm-hmm. you should have been over that a couple of years ago. You're going
24.
Through this. That's fine. It's fine. But the fact that you do it.
I was like with somebody like exclusively from like 18 to 22, and maybe I.
All right, you didn't go through it. You're just going through it now. It's fine. You that's where your delinquency came from. Is that you were held up in this other relationship?
Yeah, okay. So some of my friends tell me that I want to have sex too much, and like I'm asking too much out of these guys. Like if I'm with somebody and I'm not getting it like all the time. Like so one of my friends said that I asked for it too much. Like,
hold on a second. How often did you have sex when you were in that monogamous relationship?
In the beginning, it was.
Forget about the beginning.
Well, towards the end, I started shutting it down. I didn't.
Okay, and how much? Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Let me.
No, I like Monica.
No, I like Monica too. But let me just say this: it's like if we're saying to a ball player, "Oh, you played major league ball. What was your batting average? One time, I hit a home run."
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We understand. Got that part. Looking for the average.
Yeah.
Right, That's why we're asking for the average. We know there are times when you got in 8 or 10 sessions and 4 of them were on the kitchen floor, but average.
What's that?
So, Monica, what are you asking from these guys you date now?
Well,
daily, right?
I want at least every other day, and
every day. Okay, that's fine. That's you. That's fine. Well, you weren't sexually abused. That's fine. You weren't sexually or physically abused.
Not really. There was like minimal. Everybody says that, but I swear, like everybody that I talked to really had it. This really wasn't that big of a deal. It was pretty minimal.
Whoa, slow down, slow down. Let me hold on a second. I'll put it on hold. Let me explain something. When dumb people start talking fast, the F word pops up.
Oh yeah, so you want to slow her down a little bit.
I'm trying to. It starts.
Yeah, she's not that dumb. She just
a little bit though.
To say, oh, F, I can't believe I said that on the radio.
All I'm saying is I'm scared.
You're worried. You don't know her well enough to know.
I feel like when you step out off the trolley before it comes to a stop and you think you can keep up, but you take 2 steps and then you go ass over tea kettle, that's what I'm worried about with Monica and the profanity here. So, Monica, don't speak too fast, okay?
Thanks.
Okay.
So what happened to you with the sexual abuse?
True, you don't have to talk slowly unless you think you're going to drop like the N-bomb.
Go ahead.
Watch out for that, Drew.
So what happened to the sexual abuse here with you?
Or is this something that we're going to record? Because I don't know if I want this broadcast.
Well, Drew and I will analyze the tape on the way.
But, you know.
All right, look.
Something
happened.
Something. Let's just go ahead and say something happened.
And that's
I don't,
where.
I don't have a problem talking about you, but we don't need to broadcast.
Well, the deal is.
You don't need it to broadcast. We need to broadcast it because we do a radio show.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. If you are sexually compulsive or addicted, that's where that comes from. And so it may have a very significant impact on you. How old were you when it happened?
Oh, Drew, you don't have to broadcast it. Come on, buddy.
How old were you?
Okay.
Oh,
so slow down. I would say probably like 6.
Yeah. All right. So you believe you've dealt with it, it can affect the way your brain develops. And so
get a little help.
It might be something to look into, and it might have something to do with why you're sort of stuck in the cycle of going with the a-holes. I don't get that sense from you, frankly. It doesn't feel like that to me, but that's not a real reliable way to sort of assess these things.
But either way, I don't attract other guys.
I know you're in the bad guy. You're in the bad guy phase, and here's what one of the things that commonly happens with your history is you have some sort of sexual abuse or some bad sexual experience. You start associating sexuality with a sort of walled off bad piece of yourself. And so the only way you can experience that full sexual part of yourself is with bad guys because it's a bad part of you. So the only way to have that is with a bad person. Otherwise, it feels too uncomfortable and dirty. And so you keep going with the bad guys because that feels more satisfying. You're smart enough to know these are bad guys. You get out of the relationships in a couple of weeks. But if you can't tolerate being with somebody worthwhile, that's the time for therapy.
All right. True.
What?
I was just thinking as I was kicking the crap out of this crappy city here. You came back from Vegas this morning.
Yeah.
The McCarran Airport over in Vegas is now, last time I was there, was 2 hours worth of security line.
Yeah. It used to be such a great airport.
It used to be great. And a couple of things. I know it's been brought up before, but the terrorists have won. I mean, your shoes are off, your belt's off. You got a guy putting a probe up your ass.
Yeah.
And you're now officially longer in the airport than you are in the air.
Hang on. Should we give Monica the directs pack real quick before you lose her? Monica?
Yeah, hang on.
Stay there.
Hang on.
Stay there. We're going to give you the directs pack. Hold on.
Yeah. The flight from Vegas to Los Angeles is 47 minutes. The security at the Vegas airport is an hour and 47 minutes.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So... game over.
Drive.
We've lost.
Yeah.
As far as the terrorists go.
Get that fast train going.
It costs, I think they call it a bullet train.
Bullet train.
Although it is faster, you're right. But I think that's how a child would describe it.
You know what
it.
They call the fast train in France?
What?
The very fast train.
Really?
Yes, that's what it's called.
Yeah. It's not very creative. It's like the Mexicans with the chupacabra.
Yeah.
Sounds good to us. It means goat sucker. Goat blood sucker. You guys couldn't do better than that? But here's the thing. Yeah, let's get that bullet train going. Let's get that bullet train going from L.A. to Vegas. And then it made me just realize from the freeways to the bullet train to the whatever. Do we have anything? Does anything work?
Here in L.A.?
Yeah.
Infrastructure-wise?
Yeah. Is there anything that's worth an F?
It really is time for us to redo it. It's time. And we have to figure it out with $5 a gallon gas.
Here's a question. What do you mean redo?
Redo in the sense that it was good in 1947. It's a redo in 6 years.
Doesn't seem like other cities have like waterfronts and monorails and museums and things like that. LA just seems to be that's a couple, but no trains, no monorails,
we need all that.
No bullet trains. It seems like we should have something.
Yeah.
It seems like every man for himself here, and there's really nothing going on.
At least like a bullet train to a new airport somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just something.
Yeah,
something you could use
to alleviate the congestion.
Yeah, instead of just making your way through potholes.
Yeah,
isn't there something? Yeah. Okay, let's take ourselves a little break.
Give Monica the Durex pack,
please. We'll be right back after this.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Yeah! Loveline, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. My main man, David Alan Greer, is going to be in here doing a little hosting work for me on Wednesday because I'm doing Letterman, and it's only been 7 years.
I wonder if you'll find out why.
It's been 7 years. I highly doubt that.
I do too.
I highly doubt that. Although, to be fair to the Letterman people, about 3 years ago, they asked me if I wanted to come on a certain date and I wasn't in town or something.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you go.
Yeah. But there was no like, well, then, no, he's going to be out of town that week. How about the following week? That was three years ago. Funny thing is I was rummaging around some papers and stuff, going through some old stuff, looking for some stuff for this TLC show, and I came across the letter from them.
Thank you.
Where my name was misspelled, actually.
Of course.
Although I didn't notice it. Someone had to point it out to me, thanking me for a great appearance 7 years ago and seeing, hope we're going to see you soon.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. All right. Let's talk to Adrian, who's 19. Adrian?
Hi.
What's up?
Hold on. Adam has to talk.
I was visiting my grandmother this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think I had a couple of good conversations with my family members regarding Letterman because my dad said, it's my dad's birthday tomorrow, I think. So once.
Oh, my birthday was yesterday.
Yeah, ooh. Right. I've been with you for 10 years, never made that connection. I don't know where my dad's birthday is. He calls me a couple of days in advance and gives me a heads up. Yeah. Nice. Wanted to do something. I said, I'm going to be in New York. I'm doing Letterman. He said, how does that work? I mean, how do you get on that show? I said, well, here's how it works, basically. There's, there's two sets of people. There's the people that Letterman goes after. And then there's the people who
want to be on Letterman,
who have their people
try
to get their clients on Letterman.
And those people, and
without a pause, he said, "Who do you have? Who's your people?
Trying to get you in?
Who's lobbying for you?" I of course could not be in the group that they were trying to get on the show. I of course had to be the lobby group.
Right.
It was immediately. It wasn't an ironic question. It wasn't a put down. It was just immediately. It was like, okay, who's so? There's some people Letterman wants, and then there's other people that want to go on.
Right, and that's you.
Who's doing your bidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Nice.
And then I explained to him I'd been on the show before, and
he didn't know.
That a fact. Yeah. All right. Then when I told my grandmother I was doing Letterman, she wanted to know what I was doing over there. I said, well, when I told my grandmother I was doing Letterman, I thought she thought I was putting a coat of carnauba wax on his vet or something.
Being the audience or something.
Yeah, being the audience. My family, it's always a sort of weird lowest common denominator.
What did she say? No, it's funny. What did she say?
She said, like, well, we'll get together during the week or something. I said, I am going to New York. I'm going to do Letterman during the week. And she said, what are you doing? What is he going to have you do, essentially?
What did you say?
Because, like, Kirk Douglas would be a guest, right. not my grandson.
Right,
not the guy who put the kitchen on my house in 1985.
Or redid your dining room area.
Yeah, redid the dining room. Yeah, no, it wouldn't be. So I wanted to know what I was doing.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm a guest on the show. Oh, okay. I didn't know. I figured you would. I should be insulted, perhaps.
Well, we got our conversation for the way home.
Yeah. The point is, I don't know how you interpret I'm doing the show, but she meant, I was like... going over there to work as a grip
right.
or something, actually. I mean, it would have... if I said, look, I'm just doing a little finished carpentry over there. I'm going to put down some baseboard, put up some casing, and then I'm flying back to L.A. I'm just doing it 2 days. I think she would have been fine with that, yeah, even if I was
kidding.
Would have been
no further questions.
No further questions after that. What are you doing on the show? Best boy. Yeah, go ahead, Adrian.
I wasn't sure if you guys were still talking amongst yourselves.
We are.
Don't worry. Okay. Adrian.
No, that wasn't sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
All right, Adrian, go ahead, baby.
Well, half the time I have sex, I have, like, a weird uncomfortableness. Like, it feels like I'm going to poo, or, like, the bottom part of my stomach hurts, and I don't know what that can relate to.
But anything ever happen? I mean, does anything ever come out of you?
No. It just is.
It just feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, get me to feel like I'm.
What was that?
Bad phone line. Does feeling like you're going to poo, can that be gassy, Drew? Is that gas?
Can be. Do you have irritable bowel, Adrian?
No. I've never been diagnosed with it, and I go for regular pap smears, so.
No. This is back to your bowel. We're talking about the bowel. Do your bowels otherwise function normally?
Yeah.
Are you on a medication?
No.
And is it, do you feel things moving around in there, or is it just sort of a feeling at the. At the bottom?
It's just feeling in the bottom of my stomach. Sometimes it feels like there's stuff moving around, but it never surfaces or anything like that. So.
Or as my son say, prairie dogs.
Yeah.
Doesn't
rear its ugly head.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you,
I don't have a village.
Prairie
but...
dogs. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
You know, let me just say this about poo. There needs to be something else you do in the bathroom besides make.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because I was on some conference call this morning with like 12 people, one of those things you call into, and there's literally 10 or 12 people on there. Like, all of a sudden it hit me. Like, it was one of those things where I drank 3 cups of coffee, and I said, whoa, it's time.
Yeah.
So I went and plopped my ass down on the toilet in the middle of this conference
call.
You're
talking executives from Comedy Central.
Right.
Oh, it's good times.
And now here's what I do. So what do? Well, I just run some sink water. So I have a constant flow of sink water going so I can try to take my dump discreetly because I have this sink running in the background. But then you must think, like, what's the guy do? Go into the bathroom, just turn the sink on and stand there staring at the water go down the drain?
Well, just say it's a washing machine or
what's
something.
What's with the uninterrupted flow of water? And then you get the whole acoustic thing with the tile. We hear it clearly when someone goes into the bathroom. It sounds completely different
than
the
green bathroom you've got at that point?
I was in a smaller one. I couldn't even make it to that bathroom. Here's my point. I sound like I'm calling from,
phone booth or something.
Well, it's really the inside of an EKG or MRI thing. It's echoing all over the place. There's an uninterrupted flow of water going down a drain. Now, if there was something else you could do in the bathroom, it would be nice. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in the bathroom. What are you doing?
Eating.
Dropping a Duke?
No.
I'm working on my computer.
Right. Put your computers in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do that.
And then this move. This is the one that kills me. Now I take the huge dump. I got the water running in there. But, of course, I can't flush the toilet. Wait. Now, I do try...
And run.
...to flush it with my leg by hanging my foot. Now, let me show you,
around
Drew.
The corner.
Yeah, do that thing. It's like I can open the door from here, right? Just take the foot and just kick, just, you know, just it. Like that and run. I swear to God, the toilet makes the flushing sound before I hit the lever somehow. Well, you know what I mean? Like, the lever moves down a 16th of an inch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, couldn't at least wait till it got to the bottom before it exploded?
So you could finish the pull down and run.
Just give me...
Yeah.
Here's all I want. All I want is grenade time. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
When you pull the pin on the grenade, it's just, right. Here's all you would need. Here's all you need.
Oh, invention. Invention.
I've already worked on
toilet
it.
Toilet timer.
Here's flushing all you...
Timer.
But here's what you need. Here's all you need. You flush the handle. Boom. Flush the handle, right? One Mississippi.
Yeah.
Two Mississippi. Three Mississippi. Done.
Yeah.
Three Mississippi, I'm down the hall.
How about one Mississippi?
One Mississippi.
That's it.
I am down in another part of the house.
Maybe you ought to get those sensors that they have at the airport.
I need something, because then here's what inevitably happens. Don't flush. Now I forget about it. Now I've gone another 40 minutes on a useless conference call.
And
now it's in to watch some TV.
And
then the scream from the bathroom an hour and a half later. What? What are you doing? Why don't you? We gotta get it. You know, it's like, all right.
It starts out, oh, Adam.
Why can't you? You know what? I'm not so sure. Yeah. I like when you have to play stupid. I don't think that was me. Really? There's only two of us that live in the house.
The dog did it? What?
Molly's, you know, she's smart. I'll tell you what. She's seen me do it before. She may have let's not.
It's a pack animal, those dogs.
Let's not judge. Let's just monitor at this point. Yeah, if I could just get one Mississippi, get you 10 feet away. That's all
invention,
I need.
Invention.
Toilet timer.
Invention.
I would pay $1 million for that toilet. $1 million. And you could have a toilet seat. It could be nails on the toilet seat. I would still buy it. Just nails poking up like a yogi's bed. I would still buy that toilet. Adrian?
Yeah.
All right. So you don't have your old bowel. You feel like pooing. Do you tend to be constipated?
No, actually. I used to have a little more, but I started eating better and it started going away. So
It may still be some of that left behind.
Okay.
And that, more than anything, is probably what's... It's maybe also a little irritable bowel syndrome. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry about it, though.
All right. Yeah, you're good, baby doll. What about something... How about a little Beano before...
Because no, you don't have more gas, do you, afterwards, or do you?
No.
How about something just to sort of say you did it, though, just
bulk.
For your mind?
Metamucil, that kind of thing.
Bulk. Mm-hmm. Is it... When you say bulk, is that what you mean?
Yeah, you mean like brand Metamucil, that kind of thing.
But when you say bulk, you don't mean cereal, or do you mean cereal?
Well, brand is bulk. Don't mean cereal necessarily, but brand is bulk.
Yeah.
Fiber.
And then, what about roughage?
Roughage is okay sometimes.
Better to have fiber.
Fiber, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, the roughage can go against some people.
Really? Celery, roughage?
Roughage.
And whole grain, bulk?
Tending towards bulk, yeah.
What would be like corn husk? What would be the... Yeah.
So psyllium husk and bran.
Okay. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Love Line.
Okay, wait. My hair. Oh.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. Love Line. Tell you what, got to get it on. Must get it on. Mandate. Do get it on. Yes?
That's the mandate.
That's the mandate. Let's keep on keeping on here, Drew, and talk to Sam. Sam?
Yes.
Sam the chick. Yeah, I like that.
Right on.
Yeah, what's up?
My question is...
Sam, hold on.
You know the thing about me, Drew?
You like talking when our listeners are trying to talk?
Mm-hmm. You know what else, though?
What?
No matter how many times I see in parentheses...
Female.
The F for female when it says Sam, I'm always surprised, and it doesn't matter what the name is.
Right.
This never registers to me, even though it's 1/4 inch away from the Sam, and even though we've had this system in place for 9.5 years.
And even though I mentioned it was going to be a female as we went in to talk to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now that's not like me. I'm a verbal cues I'm fine with, normally.
Auditory.
It's this part, yeah. Go ahead, Sam.
All right. I had a pap smear and a STD testing in January.
Mm-hmm.
I tested positive for herpes. I did go in with a coulter on my lip.
Oh, I thought you were going to say positive attitude. Yeah.
And?
And I took, you know, blood tests and everything came back fine except for the herpes. Mm-hmm. And I've never had an outbreak or any kind of...
Well, now hold on a second. You were having an outbreak on your mouth.
Right. That's what my question is. Could it have been from that?
Absolutely. The blood tests are fairly worthless.
The genital? Is she talking about genital? What's she mean?
They test for herpes 1 and 2, and either can appear in both places, in the mouth and the genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't the kind of distinction that historically was there 10, 20 years ago.
There isn't.
They appear in both places. The blood tests are really only confirmatory when you have high suspicion clinically.
Mm-hmm.
You had nothing. So the test becomes sort of like, well, why'd they do it? It's not a screening test.
Well, exactly. She said she had a cold sore.
Yeah, but they weren't testing for the cold. She's the one making the connection with the cold sore.
I see.
So, Sam, yes, you had it in your mouth. You've not had it in the genitalia to this point. If you do get any kind of cold sores or pelvic pain, that sort of thing, get a herpes viral culture. That's the only way you can really nail that down.
There was a guy who used to date a female friend of ours many years ago who had a bad toupee. And he also had herpes.
Nice.
And,
good combo.
We used to call him Hairpes Simplex.
Nice. Nice. Well done.
I always got a kick out. I didn't come up with it, but that's what you get when you hang out with improv guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think that was my buddy Mark. Hairpes Simplex. I always loved that
one. See, it's Captain Ned Heeb also.
Yeah, different guy, but just as funny. Sarah?
Hi. Wow.
Thanks, baby. Hold on 1 second. I feel bad for Teresa. She's been on hold for 30 minutes. She wants to know what the
recording is. 50 minutes.
She may not be as hot as Teresa. Sarah, hang on 1 second. Teresa.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Good, baby doll. You want to know what to look for in a good therapist?
Well, I guess I just kind of phrased it wrong. I want to make sure that therapy is even going to work for me. I'm kind of at the point where I just think that I'm screwed up and I'm going to be screwed up forever. So I'm just kind of hoping that you can give me some hope that I'm going to be okay if I go into therapy.
Yeah.
Do you have a diagnosis?
Not really. The last time I was in therapy, I was like 13.
Well, why don't you go see a psychiatrist first, get a diagnosis?
Yeah.
If you really want to know if psychotherapy is appropriate, that you know, before you have a treatment, you have to have a diagnosis.
Yeah. And what happened to you? Anything?
I was pretty much molested by like every male role model that came into my life up to the age of like 6.
Okay. Here's the thing, Teresa. I don't think you're ever going to live life like a person that was never molested, just like somebody who got hit by a car when they were 5 can never really live their life like someone who never got hit by a car or never fill in the blank. We all have our crosses to bear. That doesn't mean you can't have a good life.
It can't be treated and can't be helped.
I think when people get into this sort of game where can you ever undo it? Well, the answer is no, unless you can build a time machine.
Yeah.
You can't ever undo it. Does that mean you can't have a relationship, can't have a family, can't have a life? No.
You can't.
You just have to work a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess my second part would be, like, what would make a good therapist in this particular situation? Like should I see
anyone who doesn't molest you.
Yeah, it's true, Teresa. Someone you don't like would be a good therapist. Yeah. Somebody you feel bored with, unhappy with,
but
don't want to stay around.
Good question, guy or girl.
I think guy's the way to go. But here's the deal. You have a doctor? Well, hang on.
Just because that's where the difficulty is in the creating
the trauma,
the relationship.
Do you have a doctor right now?
A regular medical doctor.
Okay, you ask that person for a good psychiatrist, get a psychiatric workup, get a diagnosis, and then ask that doctor for a therapist that he or she works with.
Yeah, all right.
That's what you do.
All right, you're not damaged goods. Sarah?
You are, but you can be.
You got a dent, but you can put that side against the wall where you won't see it.
But don't put that Bondo in there. Sarah, what's up?
I want to say how much I love you. I've been listening to you guys for 7 years, and I record your show every single night.
Wow, thank you.
And I try and turn everyone onto your show as much as possible. You guys have taught me more than all of the teachers I've had in my life combined.
Wow, thank you very much for that compliment.
I love you. And Adam, if I could, like, make you a pie, like, I can make one damn good apple pie.
Oh, really?
Bring it in.
Yeah.
If I could bring it in, like, with some fresh ice cream and all that, I would do it in a heartbeat, and it would make my life.
All right.
You'll eat it.
I'll eat it. Okay. You know what? Let me tell you this. You wouldn't even have to eat it. Like, I wouldn't be one of those things where you have to take a bite or something like that.
Way.
No, I'd just eat it. I'd be angry, actually, if you ate some of it.
Right.
Be like, what are you doing with my pie?
Oh, yeah. It'll be so good. Hands off, everyone else.
Yeah, all right. Well, Drew will need some pie, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, okay. Can you set it up? Because I swear to God, I have listened to you guys for so long, it'll make my life.
Are you a multi-orgasmic?
Yeah.
Okay, then we got a deal. Drew knows. Drew knows. Yeah.
But I'm really not joking.
Okay.
What's going on?
We'll when we put you on hold, we'll try to figure something out.
All right, what's going on now? What do you need from us tonight?
Okay, yeah. So I have this friend that's been going through AA and everything. He's really addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
And Anabuse, that's the drug that, like, alcoholics take that make them sick when they drink alcohol, right?
There's no drug at this time that is going to fix his heroin addiction.
Listen
carefully to me. Listen carefully.
Don't bring him with you when you bring the pie either. I don't want to. I'm going to be.
You can take him to my program if you want it. Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you boys all to myself.
Yeah.
If you're not sharing the pie, I'm not sharing you boys.
All right.
I love you so much. You guys are like my dads.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right. But you know, on this show, the dads have sex with their daughters.
No. Well, you guys.
Yeah. That'd be surreal if we teamed you. While we ate your pie.
All right. So here's the deal. There are medications that can be helpful in heroin addiction. Mm-hmm. For instance, there are opiate blocking agents that really help people stay sober while they work a program. But there's absolutely, at this point, really nothing that substitutes for recovery. He needs to spend at least 3 to 6 months in an intensive program, structured, sober living, that sort of thing, a residential program. Yeah. Something like Seroquel helps with the agitation, cravings, and irritability. There's a new medicine called Campral. It's very effective for stimulant and alcohol cravings and drive. It's a drive disorder, and we really don't have anything else that affects the drive.
Do you have some sort of methadone for pie? Because I'm having like a pie DT right now. Like, I need some pie, or I need something to get me off the pie.
Don't let him get into the Subutex or Buprenex or buprenorphine replacement therapies. Yeah. Try to get him in an abstinence-based program.
Sharon. Poor Sharon.
Gone.
Either gone or been on hold for too long.
To sleep.
Yeah, but we're hearing nothing.
I think she's gone.
All right. I was going to suggest to Sharon that we'll put her on first tomorrow night.
But no.
Well, she was there.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah. I mean,
Well, that's that.
We'll take ourselves a little extendo break. About 22 hours. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.